This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Life gets pretty boring when every day's the same. Take me on a rocket ship to see the Earth from space. I'm an explorer, baby. Wanna come over, baby? It's exploration time, exploration life.
Hey, good morning.
Well, today we have our first repeat guest ever.
You launched into that.
Well, it's true. What else is there to say?
Well, you're looking.
I actually had so much to say. I said all of it before.
Right.
So I'm good.
I walked in and you were like, sit your ass down and listen up.
I was actually like tormenting our guests with millions of
basically,
stories.
Also, Natalie lost her phone. Can I say something funny about it?
Yeah.
Okay, Natalie lost her phone and it was so like kind of cute and funny and you were having fun with it. You're like, haha, like you were carrying around like this little pocket watch, basically, like, because you're like, I don't have it, like I'm using my computer. And then you're having so much fun with it. Yeah. And then one day extra too long passed and you were like, I need my fucking phone.
Yeah, it broke me.
Like literally it was like you had 2 to 3 days where you're like, isn't it so funny? Yeah. Like I'm so whimsical.
I was like, I'm thinking more. Yeah. I'm like kind of like feeling more clear about stuff.
Right,
All right, let's bring in our guests. Like what the hell is this?
Okay.
Like it's crazy.
But I want to finish the thing.
Oh, for sure.
And then you can comment on it.
Okay.
Basically, like it was like Sunday night, you're like, ha ha ha. Monday night, we were seriously laughing about it. Tuesday, you were like, lol. And then Wednesday, you were like, I'm pissed the fuck off right now.
No, it was yesterday. Wednesday, I was even good.
Oh, Wednesday, you were good.
Thursday.
It was when we had
when
to do
it. Started becoming clear that the phone wouldn't be reaching me.
Right. When it was like,
you know,
this might be a problem. It's not like any day now. It's like you would have to do something and kind of do
like
work.
Well,
yesterday we had to do a hotspot in Union, in the middle of the Union Square
holiday market
with Natalie's computer
That's
open,
correct.
And it was like
so I could text my boss,
right, to be like, where do
like,
I go?
On my way.
Like, yeah. So, and like, you know, the Union Square holiday market, it's like the last place you want to have your laptop out. And by the way, it was on like 1%. It was
doing
giving you like low
spot.
Battery warning. We were doing a hotspot.
Yeah, it
that
was
is so
tough.
High stakes.
It was
yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
Charlie was like, what are we going to do? I was like, can you just hotspot me? Like, and he was like, where? And I was like, let's go to the lamp store.
Right.
And I like, we like point over there and it's like, you know, that shed like with the lamps hanging down.
Right. And the
Union Square. They're so pretty though. All right. Our guest is someone that we love so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy that he's here today.
Yeah, me too.
Third person vibes.
Right.
And the origin. Well, honestly, welcome to the show, Jabuki Youngwhite.
What's up?
Thank
I'm so
you.
So happy to be back.
We're really excited to have you. And the origin of you returning, shall I say, is that I DM'd you. Listeners might be interested to know because I'm watching the second season of Rap Shit and it is so good and I'm having the best time feeling addicted and obsessed in a way that I would say is often only reserved for housewives personally.
Wow. Right.
Because I'm wondering to myself, what's going to happen?
Right.
That's something I really only do with housewives.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, I kind of need to talk about this with someone. Usually that's only housewives
that's a housewives kind of feeling.
But now
have.
It's happening for this show.
Right.
So I DM'd Jabuki to say, that's amazing. And he said, totally, like, by the way, like, podcast. I said, podcast would be honored.
Right.
Out of our minds.
Right.
To have you back.
Yeah.
And here I am.
Woo!
There it is.
Let's give it up.
So welcome.
Hey.
Hey.
Happy to be here.
Simple as that.
What's up?
Did you know that I interviewed Jabuki when I was in college? Did you know this?
Let's
did we talk
speak
about
on
this?
That. I know
I think
about that.
That all the time.
At what's it called?
At Playground.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's so true.
The coffee shop?
Yeah.
I thought that was newer.
No. Well, I'm really young.
Yeah. I know. So I'm like, wait.
When I interviewed you, it was like 1 or 2 years ago.
Yeah. You were 17?
Yeah. At the time I was 17.
Yeah. And I was like, this is a little
problematic.
Remember you tried to groom me?
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. That was a joke.
Yeah. Right, sorry. Yeah. It's like so scary that I said that. I was like, I don't normally say stuff like that. Like, that's not the kind of joke I do.
I was like, wow. Right. You know, potentially edit out.
Right. But we won't.
Yeah, okay.
No, in this case, we won't.
But I remember you were a senior, and yes. You were working on a paper.
Right.
And
it was college.
In college, yeah.
Right. Careful.
And you were asking about stand-up, and then also about like digital comedy and.
Yeah, I think the premise of the paper was about like people copying online, like the content.
Right. Oh my God, fuck Jerry.
Yeah.
Wait,
can I say something about fuck Jerry? Like, it's not quite full circle, but I just got asked by fuck Jerry or like by like a brand influencer agency. They were like, do you want to be in a TikTok for Yaya, which is fuck Jerry's tequila brand?
Okay.
We would have you shoot like 10 TikToks. It would be 4 hours a month, and we'll pay $300 for the month.
Oh my God.
I'm going to kill you. Like, are you serious?
10 TikToks for Yaya?
Yeah. For that Yaya is... tequila. I was like, there's no, you guys must make so much money. Like, that's your budget? Like,
hey, you want to be an indentured servant? Right. For a
literally,
shot of tequila?
It's so crazy. And no hate to like, that's just their budget. Like, that's not like shade to like the Instagram influencer or agency or whatever, but like, Yaya tequila. Right,
it's kind of a shade to them.
That's kind of crazy because for how insidious he was, he should have way more money.
Exactly. It's like you don't have money to like pay. It's like that is like truly like a pittance.
Right. Like you're gonna be a villain and you're not even gonna be like a rich villain. Right. Like
the more you're doing it for the love of being evil.
Right.
So what happened to him? Like he was taking everyone's tweets.
He was like kind of one of the progenitors of like this style of meme page where you just like take people's tweets, and he was pretty early, like he was just like cropping out like the username.
Yeah.
What's kind of ironic about it is now like that's a really common practice, and he's one of the few people who like
went down for it
and now like credits people, tags that, you know, he's actually really like he's like so like chastened, and then, meanwhile like a million Instagram pages called like Mom Life are like posting like crossing out my name. I'm like, all right, whatever.
That's funny. So you interviewed Jabuki as like a source.
Yeah, yes. Well, basically like kind of the center of the piece. And it was like there were all these accounts like Dory that would like copy and paste. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like,
and I was going after them for a while.
You were.
Really? Like, I was like,
that's what it was.
Fuck all of you.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Really violent about it.
Because you were like, I randomly happen to be like a real human person.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I'm actually coming up with like my own ideas.
Yeah.
Like, and as a matter of fact.
I honestly remember finding your Twitter and I couldn't believe you were real.
Right.
Like, I literally was like, this is so funny. Right. And like, this is just a guy.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Is that serious? Like, how could that be? Like,
right. I've gotten that a decent amount.
Right.
Like, there are either people think I'm just like some disembodied entity online, or people think it's like honestly a Shakespeare kind of thing, and I'm like 12 twinks.
Right. Exactly.
Like, right. I think that's what I was thinking. I was like, there's a team here.
Right. Exactly.
And there's like a manager and like a couple employees.
Right.
And
it is. It's like there's a manager and like 4 interns who are underpaid, maybe something like. But actually, like the paper was being like, what are those accounts like Dory? Like who runs them?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to be like, ooh, let me like do some digging and like what are these? Like they're registered, and the professor of the class was like, this is really interesting. Like you should continue it, and like. Because he, like, had connections at The New Yorker. He was like, if you continue this, like, we can get it published. And I was like, I'm actually totally good. Like, I don't need to do that.
You're like, continue
this. I was like, it's actually more
crap.
Important for me to be at open mic 6 nights a week. So, just, I know that sounds interesting, but no.
That so is honestly really, really exciting. And it's a little sad.
I know. Totally.
Your amazing career.
You know, it's like, what could have been? And actually, like, that would be
you
fun.
Was like a journalist, that Lady Gaga thing where she's like, I was supposed to be like a military journalist.
What?
No, you haven't heard this?
No.
She was like, if I wasn't going to be a singer, I would be a combat journalist.
What?
Wait, you don't know this? Oh, do you know this, Charlie?
No.
That's... You don't know this, Emma. Do you know this?
Is this combat knowledge?
I've heard this, yes. Yeah. She, in an interview for like Gucci or something. Or something.
That's so like, it's like you wish that's what you would have been.
Yeah.
Like that's probably not.
It's just
you know
like,
what I mean?
Whoa. I mean, I feel like I have that, I have this thing. You know, sometimes you have like people in your life where they're like, I was going to do... Oh, I actually was like, wait, I can't talk shit about this because it's a cousin, but I just remembered it's actually like someone from Housewives.
It's my close friend.
This woman on Jersey, this lesbian brings home this girlfriend, sister of a housewife, whatever. And she's like, the girlfriend's like, I wanted to do pediatric oncology, but like I started thinking I was going to study pediatric oncology, but it was too sad, and now I work at like an insurance company. It was like, people do say stuff like, right. I was so gonna do X,
right,
like,
yeah,
it's so weird, it's so, and she did that too, right. And I feel like I had a lot of like random people in my life at like, a certain point who were like talking like that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I can't name names.
I love to do that.
To be like, I would have been.
Yeah, like, I totally would have been, like, a biomedical engineer.
Oh, we talked right. about this last time you were here.
Yeah, like, for the longest time, I was like, yeah, like, I'm not actively trying, but, like, one day I could be an astronaut.
Right. Like, yes.
Like, it's there in the background.
In the same way that they, like, let teachers go into space?
No, like, as in, like, if I really applied myself, like, I probably right. still could make that happen. Like, I believe but, like, that. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But that's, like, you know, going to school, the real nitty gritty, going to school, getting the degree, doing the, I'm like, no, but I could make it happen by like 32.
Right.
Like, maybe. Like, no, yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, well, this is also the thing of like,
like, there are careers that have eclipsed. Right. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to be like gymnasts.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
exactly. Doors are closing.
Yeah. Doors are closing as time marches on. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, this is the thing of like, being like, I could do that if I just tried really hard and wanted to, and mm-hmm. it's like, right, but you can't try really hard. Yeah. Like, you actually, like, don't have the capacity. And I'm not saying for you, like, being a biomedical engineer, but me being like, yeah, like, I could still be a doctor if only I, like, put in the work and tried. It's like, right, technically you could.
Yeah, but some people can't.
Okay.
Can't or can?
Can't. Like,
you know what's crazy?
I see what you're saying.
I forget what his specialist is, but there's this guy who is basically doing a press tour for his book right now, saying that there's no such thing as free will.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I'm just read that. I'm big into no free will.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'm yeah. so
Did
no
you read
free
this
will
book?
Build.
Didn't you just listen to an audiobook about that?
What's his name, like Sapinowski or something like that?
I don't endorse the guy whose book I read, Sam Harris. He's like a big
atheist.
Oh,
I know about
you
him.
Love Sam Harris.
Yeah, I sorry. Wait, Harris, I don't support him politically, but he did have a meditation app that okay. I engaged.
Wait, is that Waking Up?
Yeah.
Do you I love waking up. Up.
No, it's a good right. meditation.
And
app.
He's yeah, really yeah, good, but good. I think he's like Islamophobic or something.
What?
Yeah, he's like he's one of these
he's
like
weird.
Atheists.
And he's like so hardcore about his atheism.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
He was like one of my idols when I was like 12.
Right.
And I had to really like unlearn.
At the core, you have to admit that religion is like they serve looks. Like it has right. aesthetic value, if nothing else.
Yeah, she's stuck around for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Also, like the thing that he's doing, like is. Like religion vibes.
100%.
Or like a replacement or something.
Right. And there is, and he works really hard to make the argument for no free will work in a totally atheistic
How is that?
View of the world. Like, because it's so easy if you are arguing for no free will to go to a kind of like spiritual place.
Right.
And so his whole thing is like, there's no God and there's like also no free will.
The guy who I was reading about was saying that it's kind of like what you were saying, where because our will has to predate our actions. Mm-hmm. Like we have to mm-hmm. want to do something before we can do it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what the narrative your brain is telling itself to mm-hmm. do the action is, like you need to have that before you can do the action.
Right.
And we cannot control what we want.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So right. then like you really can't control right. what you right, do. Right. If like at the core you can't control what you want.
Right.
I don't know.
Because it's totally. Like you're going to end up doing what you want.
Yeah, you're right. going to end up doing what you want. Mm. Even if
and
it's
if you
like,
can't make yourself want to like do all this boring stuff, you know what I mean? Then it's like you're not going to do it.
Yeah. Mm.
And if you want to do all this boring stuff, then you can do it probably, yeah. right? And then there's another like, there's maybe like the skill layer of like you can really want something and still not be able to do it, but you do need to want to do it. To
yeah,
do
mm.
it.
That's like the building.
And so often people are like, well, I could do that if I wanted to. And it's like, but you don't want to, so therefore you can't.
Right, right.
You can't like make yourself want to be like a Rhodes Scholar.
I'm kind of down for that. Like,
I think it
takes the pressure off a little bit.
Totally.
It feels so good. I forgave myself for everything.
Right.
I know.
I reached Nirvana. I was like,
I'm feeling for the upcoming stuff. I'm like, right. We'll see.
I've had this with like this making like mistakes generally, and like that I've done a lot of work in like forgiving myself. And sometimes like when you're apologizing to someone and you're like, so just so you know, like I've already forgiven myself for that. And they're kind of like, right. So like I actually haven't yet. So yeah. Like, do you want to maybe like be, I'm like,
why don't you follow my lead on
right,
that?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I know I did something really bad and I really hurt you. But the thing is like, I'm just human, and it's okay. So does that help?
Well, I feel like it's like if you're too self-lacerating, then it's kind of like,
it's like, oh,
you
boy.
Do have to learn to like right. forgive yourself a little bit, like right. so that you can like apologize right. to someone else. But then I feel like the more that you're hard on yourself, the more you react in this intense like. It, but it's also okay way. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, because it's so and intense like, the way you're normally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you're like, I'm a piece of shit. Like I was late. I shouldn't have fucking been late. Then right. the thing you say is like, listen. Like, what do you want to kill me? Like, right, what can right. I do? Like, yeah, yeah, I was yeah. late for a right, second. Right. And like, but if you're like more generous with yourself, you are able to be like, that wasn't cool.
Right. Like I'm sorry yeah. in like kind of a normal way.
Right.
Right.
The thing, wait, I wanted to say quickly about Sam Harris that when I was really into Waking Up and then found out that he had these like really bad politics, mm-hmm. I was like, well, what's okay? So I don't want to like give him money, but like, you know, I'm just doing this thing that's like, and then I was like, is it so bad? And I was like, well, I'm just like letting him speak into my ear softly every single day. Like, like so I don't believe what he believes. Like, right. I'm just letting him come into my brain, like right. hypnotize me every single day, as get I inside sleep, my thoughts, like, yeah. and then help how I see the world. Right. Like, what could go wrong? Like,
you know, now that I know that he has said stuff politically and I have free reign to tear down his character. Mm-hmm.
Go get him.
I hate his ugly. Vocal fry so much. They'll be in the middle of a meditation and he'll be like
yes.
And the thing is
wait, he doesn't like Obama up. Like in yes. an intellectual way yeah. like he wants yeah, 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 it he's kind of yeah, yeah. milking it yeah. like if you ever like that's annoying as fuck you're
that's
right
so funny
because yeah. he wants it it's like when people sneeze big
yeah.
and you're like you're in control of that like
he needs to do those like healing frequency meditations but it's like vocal fry at 3500 megahertz or
like harmonizing like, with yeah, himself yeah. With different...
I want him to have vocal fry but in like the Valley Girl way I want him to have right. like gay girl like
that would be an girly, amazing like, meditation
yeah.
kind of like
by the way yeah
Julia
like where
Fox
are those right
style
actually like right they
actually that makes so much more sense because what he's doing is trying to be so heady and intellectual someone yeah. who's like right. taking all of that out and going full vapid
right mm-hmm.
that actually feels like a shorter route to
like head empty
meditation yeah. Right. Yeah. totally right like instead
you
of coming at it
so good
yeah
your skin is glowing right
wait,
now
wait this but is actually I was doing
is it working
with, wait Francesca Duva our friend who wrote the theme song to the podcast plug and I recently were really really high and we like kind of rediscovered Valley Girl voice and we're kind of like doing it and I was like and we were both like this feels like illegal like it feels like a kind of like horrible like I feel like we had to leave Valley Girl voice behind for so long because it was so mean to women or something
can't remember
but then doing it
what
is like
it?
Valley Girl voice I honestly can't do it
right
you were kind of just doing it
about that
it's like that like flat affect
flat kind of affect and like
but you're going up
at the end
but that's not even it but
no
also,
it's like
I think,
like this is not like the real thing but right. like remember like in like 2000 and
oh my god
right. like I feel like everyone everywhere was like oh my god like
yeah
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah yeah okay okay that yeah. that
kind of like
but
yeah.
you know what I think it's
like
because
Jimmy Fallon.
We kind of just absorbed it into the general
regular
American
speech.
Right.
Speech. Mm. I think that
they won.
Yeah, they
it won.
They did kind of win because I hear it now, and it awesome. Doesn't sound as insane as it did back
right.
then.
Right.
Yeah.
Back then, it was just like I mean, it was pure comedy. Like right. it was literally just like okay, man. You're being LOL funny. Like
White Chicks was
right,
a movie that
right.
was built around that.
Right.
Literally.
Also,
and, like,
I've been saying we are like 5 years, maybe three out from White Chicks being rebooted.
Totally.
Saying that right now.
Totally.
Saying it.
It's kind of
I've
just like
watched
someone needs
whole
to take
movie
the lead
on TikTok.
Right. On TikTok.
Yeah. It just like
what was it segmented to?
150 parts.
It's like I don't think I've seen like every part, but I've probably seen like honestly 50% of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like just based on how many I've watched, it's like the dance scene, there's like a car chase scene, like the premise of it, like how that why they become that way, like I really had like kind of know the plot of the movie.
It was so, I feel like my school like taught it. Like, I know they didn't, but that's how integral it was to like the right. education of seventh right. grade or right. whatever. It's like, you guys need to memorize this, right. actually. I remember a teacher in eighth grade playing Mean Girls in the class, like, and it was like part of like a unit about like gossip. Mm-hmm. It was for like a religious studies class. Like,
did you go to Catholic school?
No, I went to Jewish school. Oh. It was like a Torah class or okay. whatever. But she was like, and we were like, we're watching Mean Girls in class. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And then it was like so like miserably like clouded with like note taking and homework and whatever. I was like, you know what? Like, fuck you. Yeah. Like, don't pander to us. Like, we don't like this shit when it's bad. Right, you know, right. like we know what Mean Girls is supposed to be. It's supposed to be awesome and for fun.
Right. I want like gummy worms at a sleepover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my God. Should we do our list?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to give them both to you, Jabuki.
Ooh, okay, okay.
And you can choose one from a girl and one from a boy right. each time. And
I like how I was trying to do some impartial shuffling and they're just two distinct totally pieces of sizes. Paper.
But can you even remember like the paper that goes
well,
on?
Well, I've right? labeled mine.
You always
I
do.
I always label them.
Charlie's Ideas.
Mm-hmm. Two words, Fiona and Cyrus.
Cool.
They are friends of our producer, Emma, and they, how do they meet? On a little app called Hinge, which is a dating app designed to be deleted. They met, and they are, from what I'm hearing, completely head over heels in love. And they met on this app.
And they're really good together?
Yeah.
They're really good together.
I mean, it's amazing. And they it works, and that's because Hinge really allows kind of a depth of information.
Totally. You have to answer these prompts. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like if you share a lot of information on another app, it's mm-hmm. kind of like, ew, why mm-hmm. did you want to share all that stuff?
Right, but Hinge, it's kind
you
of like
have
you have to.
But then with, you it, need it right. to be able to have a conversation.
It actually so is if I were like, ugh, they're making me do this. But yeah. And then it's actually like, but thank God they are.
Thank God, right. because you actually have something to say.
Yeah, and specifically Hinge's LGBTQIA plus prompts are designed to help queer daters better connect based on similarities, interests, and compatibility.
That's cool.
That is cool. They sent us some of these prompts, so we're going to answer them.
Okay. The first time I knew I was gay was, this is actually something that comes up, like yeah, on,
people do talk
people
about
like
this.
To talk about their uh-huh. early gay feelings. Mm-hmm. So I could see that being a really good prompt. Like mine would probably be like when I saw this like on TV, like there was this girl like, and she dropped her underwear panties on the ground.
Whoa, and you were like.
But I'm looking for what that movie was, okay? It made me gay. What was it?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that could start a good conversation with someone.
Yeah, I have this joke I'm doing right now in okay. my stand-up where it's like, I'm like such an oversharer. So I came out really early. I came out when I was 14. And the joke is like, I'm like, I saw like a hot guy when I was 14 and I was like, Mom!
Aww.
Yeah.
That's a great story. So you could say that on the app.
Right, exactly.
Download Hinge and show off your full self using their LGBTQIA plus prompts today. Then find someone worth deleting the app for.
Yeah, have a little fun.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bus close calls.
Okay, this is a thing of how I think really important to like the mythology or the idea of a bus is like the idea of a close call. Like I think close calls are so built into buses
with missing it or getting hit by it.
So missing it is one, right? Like that's totally part of it. But mm-hmm. also like I was thinking about this because in the New York City buses they have this mirror on the right hand side that has like red and white tape, but it really will when they swing in. It can swing in really close to your head. Like, it's exactly at my head height. And there have been times where it's been, like, under 2 inches from my head.
Wait, what are you saying right now?
So there's a mirror on the front of the bus, like, on the outside. Like, uh-huh. a front right yeah, exterior yeah. mirror. And as the bus pulls over into the stop,
it comes like, into the sidewalk.
It comes, oh, like, over yes. the sidewalk. And it yeah. can get really close to hitting your head. For me, because mm-hmm. it's at my head okay, level, and I'm like drag, often waiting right drag. There on the curb, right? And it's never happened, but I'm like, wow, like, close call. And then buses are all the time, like, like navigating really tight New York City streets, like cars double parked, and it'll be like a double length bus, and you're looking out the window, you're like, you are a fucking inch and a half from scratching the fuck up out of this car, right? Or like, you know, so if you ever take like a crosstown bus in Manhattan, they're like double length and they're like accordion style, and they're fully doing like turns on Lexington Avenue, like, so first of all, it's really impressive. Then also just like, I feel like broadly, like you often see the image of a bus where it's like, look at this bus in like Peru. And it's so crazy. It's going, it's like this old bus and it's going up this mountain and it's like right next to this big ravine.
Yeah,
and like
the bus driver is so expert.
You know what I mean? Something about the idea of a bus is built in this thing of like precarity, right? I'm thinking also of like the school bus that's perched teetering over the edge of the cliff and like the cultural imagination.
What the heck?
That's always happening in superhero stuff.
Oh, okay, okay. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah, no, I don't know that. Right. I know it a little more with a train, but I really hear you in some ways.
I'm actually thinking that I'm like dead on.
Oh, here, that's great.
Is the feeling I'm having.
So you don't need us.
No, but I'm wanting you guys. You guys.
Listen, I hear you.
Right.
And every time I see a bus pull into the side of the sidewalk, I'm like, how crazy is this shit? Like, this is a whale swooping down to like my area of the ocean.
Right.
And I feel the magnitude of that.
Right. No, totally.
So you're saying that there's danger inherent to buses that...
Yeah, something about it where it's like, I think already with cars, like there's so much close call and you have this proximity to danger.
Yeah.
And then there's something about a bus that's even more like kind of dramatic because it's like a car, but without like the, it's like in the same spaces, but it's not dexterous because it's so big.
Right. But it's then like,
it is really dexterous actually. It's like the bus drivers are like, it's literally like there's an inch on each side and they're like kind of gunning it. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, I got this. And then they like zoom past and you're like, you really did have that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's so sick.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might need to be a bus driver.
Yeah. I've thought about it. I've thought about a lot of jobs where it's like, because I like driving, but it seems hard.
I think it's hard.
It actually almost seems magic that it doesn't happen more than... Like, that crashes don't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's like, you'd think that with all the close calls, like, I would have been on a bus that at some point had, like, some disaster. Right.
Did you guys see that car that, like, drove into the subway station?
What?
No.
I'm actually Mr. News. Right. Like, I actually, like, need to make a little newsletter for YouTube.
Right.
This car just, like, someone was, like, drunk and just, like, drove into, but no one got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really slowly just, like, and it was just, like, the subway... like entrance with just like half of a car sticking out.
Yeah, everyone I was about to say, how did it fit inside?
It got halfway in.
Okay.
It got its little nose in.
Right. What?
Stop. That's cute.
Somewhere uptown, maybe Washington Heights or something.
Uh-huh.
And everyone said, you can't park here, buddy.
Yeah, you're right.
That's too funny.
Everybody gets to be like, you're supposed to get out of the car first.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And guess what? I read about it. Like, this is me without a phone. You know what I mean? Actually, I read a magazine. Right.
Propping open a newspaper.
Literally. Like me, like, coffee in the morning, like grandkid on my knee, like newspaper.
I was gonna say about you losing your phone, I think that a really fascinating discovery was made in that we can extend the amount of time away from our phones if we turn it into a bit. Like the fact that you went that many days in the bit, and then when the bit kind of expired, you
that's
were like hit with the withdrawal.
That's so true.
Like, when did it stop being fun to not have a phone is probably like right about when the attention ran out.
Yeah.
For not having one.
Exactly.
And it became like unentertaining for anyone else. And I was like, you know what?
Right.
This blows.
Like when you stop being able to make a joke out of it.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, we've seen your pocket watch. And you were like, well, then where's my fucking phone? Like,
he hasn't.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to see?
This is how I'm telling time right now.
Okay. That's amazing.
It's my watch without any straps. And I'm like, checking
it. The next thing that you need to do is get a chain. That might extend the day.
And clip
like,
it in, right?
Yeah.
Just like this.
Yeah,
I know. But I think I like really teeter into like kid with a briefcase in middle school vibes. And I feel like that would kind of push me over the edge a little bit. Like having a pocket watch.
Like, so what is this?
There's kind of like a dykiness that's like a little hyper practical that is like, you know what? Like it's not as like ironic.
You start wearing something.
Vests. No, right. Exactly. And by the way, I do. I have so many little like cocktail waitress vests. From whatever.
No, I want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, guys.
It's okay.
Oh. Well, one time I was thinking of an outfit that was slacks and a vest.
Mm-hmm.
And Celeste, our friend, helped me go look for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all these little vests. Mm-hmm. And then I wore it somewhere and where I was performing. And then someone said, everyone was thinking I was working there. Because I was looking like a...
Was it a button-up vest?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the show?
And it was kind of like magician. Like, you know, some people can do that.
Were you wearing a shirt underneath?
No.
Oh, cool.
That's the thing.
Do you really like vests?
No.
No?
Yeah.
What about sweater vests?
Yeah.
I have a sweater vest that I want to give you.
To give to me?
Yeah.
You give and give to me.
Okay.
What's going on?
I am just an... It's Christmas season.
No, literally.
Yeah, and I'm just a giving person.
Jabuki brought us chocolate today.
I did. Oh,
that's so cool. Wait, we need to talk about Rap Shit.
Okay.
Right now.
Let's do it.
This show is so amazing. I'm going to kind of repeat the stuff I said so that it's on air. Mm-hmm. But I'm feeling that all the listeners need to watch it and then that's DM really me good. To be talking about it.
Yeah.
The plots are amazing.
It's juicy, right?
It's so juicy.
Yeah. Thank God a show where something happens.
Yes.
And so much happens. And all the characters have, like, the drama they have with each other. Like, the main thing is, like, these two rappers are, like, trying to make it in the industry. But then they each have, like, really, really stressful drama in their personal lives. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't say anything even for the scam that Shauna's running or, like, Mia's romantic troubles, which, by the way, as someone who's, like, never done anything like what she's doing, which, like, hooking up with a bunch of people, basically, at the same time. Not because I've just never been able to do that. I've tried. Basically, I couldn't relate to her more. Like, the way this character is kind of, like, being so messy and, like, kind of, like, stringing all these guys along, but, like, these different guys keep entering, giving her attention in ways that, like, feels really promising. It's very believable. Like, it just, like, sets up this really real dynamic. Anyways... It's so drama-filled. I'm watching that and Grey's Anatomy right now, and they both are giving me suspense, drama, realness.
Right.
Period. And what else is there to say?
It's just, it's really good.
Yeah. Was it so fun to do?
And it's a little under the radar.
Really.
More than
it
should be.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as talked about as I think it could be.
Yeah, I kind of like the progression that it's been having where I'm noticing in the second season, it's like people are really starting to sink in and lock in.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels, it's also the week by week model of it.
Oh, yeah.
It really feels like a Grey's Anatomy type thing where it's like you're actually getting more and more into the story rather than just like watching something in a weekend and being like, okay, great, downloaded, and then you move on to the next.
Yes, no. And it's and like the turns that the show has taken, I feel like, are really surprising. And so it does give you that thing of like wanting the next episode, like watching the preview for next week because there's so much curiosity of like, what the hell is going to happen? Like it is like, it's been such a surprising season, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like appointment television vibes. Mm-hmm. Where you're like waiting for it every week.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Congrats.
Thanks.
Yeah, congratulations. Mm-hmm. Was it what was it like to do?
It was the first season was pretty stressful because we were shooting in Miami in 2021.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
They were not doing
masks. No, they weren't doing shit.
I know that. I have a friend who lives there.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was just like no one was adhering to any like.
And the first time I went there, I was like, Miami is like world renowned for having so many different cuisines. It's like Little Caribbean. The food here is terrible. They don't season the food here. I can't taste anything.
Wait, here in New York?
No, this is in Miami.
Oh.
And then found out I got COVID.
Right.
And so now I need to go back.
That's such a classic.
You're like,
this tastes bad.
But it was really fun. Also, all of the actors, and there's so many actors who are just not known as actors on the show, and everyone is just giving these like batting for the fences performances.
Literally. I mean, we were just talking about Chameleon.
She's so good.
I was totally stunned.
The magnetism that she has.
Holy shit.
Where there's certain performers where you're watching, and or at least for me, I find myself mirroring their expressions or whatever they're feeling just because I'm that locked in.
Yeah.
She's one of those people for me.
Totally.
Yeah, I found her so like sympathetic and charismatic.
I also think it adds to the like lived in like realness of the show that like it's people that they're kind of like debuting as actors or something because it really feels like you're dropped in a world like it's not like whenever you're I don't know, we saw Poor Things last night.
Right.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. No, we were just talking about that.
You came in talking about it.
I came in hot off the press. Yeah. Have you seen Poor Things?
We need to be talking about that really?
Yeah,
one
yeah,
moment.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay.
But anyways, it was so good, but you're also very much just like, okay, that's Emma Stone. Like, I just like, you know, but it's nice to have that thing of like, the first time you see someone in something and they're so good, it feels so real. Yeah. Like, you're like, this is who that is.
I think it's interesting in a meta sort of way now that learning about an actor's process is so built into the press of anything that you're almost watching it half being like, I wonder what they did to get into this.
Yeah,
and that
totally.
That removes you a little bit from the process of it. But I loved Poor Things.
I do think actually the way we watch things is so like has this layer of like celebrity.
Yeah.
I have a friend who like does not know celebrities, like truly just like does not have the brain for them. We'll say stuff like, he's like, who's Marlon Brando? And I was like, respect. Like, someone else who was like, he didn't know Charlize Theron. Like, people were, I was like, that's pretty big. Like, if you're knowing.
It's A-list.
Like,
it's A-list.
What?
A-list.
Right. A-list. It's like, oh, that's like, you know, he's like a gay guy. I'm like, you didn't know that you went for Monster in 2003? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's thinking about other stuff.
That's kind of fascinating.
I know. It is kind of fascinating.
Especially for a gay guy.
Right.
I feel like I meet so many gay men and I'm like, who is that character actress?
Right. No, literally, like, literally.
And they're like, you have betrayed us by now.
Well, like, I was also like, I was like, I don't know that much about celebrities. I just know like, like Charlize Theron won for Best Actress in 2003 for Monster. Like, and it's like, so what, how, like, where'd that get in there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. And then I think it was like Halle Berry after, you know what I mean? Like knowing like every single year somehow, just like it happens. And he doesn't know that. And so he watches movies in a kind of different way where he's just like, it's like just the text of the movie.
Yeah.
And not thinking about like, oh, well, this was her doing like this other kind of role that she doesn't normally do.
Right.
And like, well, her whole thing is being like this kind of ingenue. So it actually was really cool that in this she was, you know, she's subverting her.
Yeah.
That like this like thing that's layered on top of a lot of movies, which is like the celebrity narrative that, that goes with it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sorry. I need to say another thing about Rapture that I just remembered.
Yes, sure.
The sex on the show.
Wow. Right.
What the fuck?
I know.
It's so hot.
They fuck.
They really fuck, and it's really, honestly, like, I need to, like, be calm speaking about this, but, like, it's real, like, it's like, okay, so this is HBO, like, doing what she needs to do,
yes.
you know?
Right.
Like,
someone
this
has
is,
to do it.
Right, like, why is this show on this network? Like, we'll tell you why. Sex.
How do y'all feel about sex in movies and sex in
Well, isn't there's this whole discourse about
there
it.
There is. Yeah.
Which is so fun.
Is there?
Yeah, on Twitter, it's like part of this broader discourse about like Gen Z being kind of a prude, right? Like there's these people on Twitter who are like, this idea is like sex scenes are not necessary in media and they like distract from the plot or whatever. I mean, obviously it's just goofy. It's like, what do you mean? Like, it's like we don't have to be watching anything. It's just fun. Like,
Media is not necessary.
Right, exactly. Like, we don't have to be here. It's like, well, it distracts from the plot. It's like, it's not like, oh, fuck, we got to get through this. We got to like find out who done it. You know what I mean? Like, we're having fun. We like watching people have sex.
Definitely.
What's the issue?
I think it's fabulous.
Right. We love it.
Honestly, even a bad sex scene is like amazing.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
oh my God, and a good one? What's a really good sex scene?
Literally, these sex scenes are crazy.
They are really good.
They're crazy, and you see everything, not to be a pervert.
Really?
Yes.
Do you see the dick?
Honestly, I don't know. That's not what I'm looking at.
Right.
Everything that anyone would want to see.
I'm like, what
see.
About this? You know what's funny?
A
like,
dick. I'm like, wait.
What is that?
I said that you see everything. Like,
there was like Charles Melton in May, December, and I was looking away the one moment where you see his dick, but apparently it's like a prosthetic. And it's funny because I guess with a prosthetic, it like they're often just huge. And gigantic. People were like, this is insane. Like,
wait,
what you're showing.
Do they have to be huge because they have to go on top?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, is it like wearing like a jacket over a sweatshirt?
Exactly. Like, that's kind of what I was imagining, but I don't know if that's true.
Like,
I mean, it has to be bigger than
go size up.
It's like a little coat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, because otherwise, like, where's the other thing going?
Right.
Or I guess you could
tuck or something. I don't know.
I heard about that.
Right.
That wouldn't be realistic, though. You need it on top.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like it could possibly be on top.
No, there's no way. It's like a sleeve around it.
Right.
And like also at that point, Cooper it's so funny. Like it's like, well, we can't show the real thing. We're just going to show it so that it looks like it's real. Like this idea, like, oh, but if we see his actual penis, like that's going to be really like too revealing or personal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to do something that will look completely like his penis, like a prosthetic that like.
Well, you don't know.
Well, you don't know, but like often they'll say like, oh, that was a prosthetic.
Yeah, but you don't know that it looks like his penis.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's like it looks like it could be his.
Yeah, like it could be, but I'm like, he's getting to have a lot of privacy around the details.
I guess that, to me, I'm just like, whatever, but I haven't been in that position.
Right,
do you know what I'm saying?
Where but I'm I think like, the question mark around like how accurate is that kind of is nice.
That is, it's person, like, oh, maybe it's not literally like, yeah, no, right, exactly.
You know the Willem Dafoe Antichrist story?
No.
His dick was so big that they had to do a prosthetic to size it down because Lars von Trier said that it was distracting.
How do they do that? How do they size it down?
That, I don't know. That's maybe so it's crazy. Like, I don't know, they had to cinch it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
A little.
They're like, we're just contouring it.
So. Yeah, right. Right, that at a certain point, they're like, this part is your leg.
Right.
Makeup wise. Sometimes the dick will just show up in a movie and it's just like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, no, it's random. It was in, did we see one in, no, in Poor Things. But they have sex scenes in Poor Things.
Great sex scenes.
Yeah, Emma Stone is fucking in that.
Yeah.
She is fucking in that.
Yeah. Wait, yeah, okay, so let's get into Poor Things.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and forth to Rapture because I do have some more to say. Okay. Basically, also just really quickly about the music is really good.
Yeah, the mixtape.
Yeah,
and also like the music.
Direction.
That, yes. Yeah. Like in the score. Show that the characters are doing. Yeah. Oh, and what do they have for that? Because it's so hard whenever there's a movie where the plot point is that the music is good and it's like, is it going to be good or is it not?
Yeah.
But I feel like it really is.
Yeah, Seduce and Scheme is great.
Yeah.
BBW is great.
Who do they, how are they doing that?
They have a music director who does the music
who writes
for
it.
The show and writes the show. And then also Chameleon makes music.
Right.
And Ida does too, like low key. She's never released
anything.
Wasn't
she like a kind of like rapping online?
Yeah. So it's like a really musical sort of environment already. Mm-hmm.
Wait, and you too.
And me too.
Right.
Bro.
There's another guy in there who's making some music.
You playing a damn music producer.
Yeah, so there's like a lot that people are bringing to it naturally and organically that makes it really fun.
Do you know about the music as it's being developed, like in the season, or do they like come?
I'll like in table reads, there'll be like allusions to it, and then you'll hear some of the tracks, especially when we're shooting like a music video or something. Then you'll hear like the snippets,
right?
It, like over and over. Even some of Raina's stuff, I'm like, this is good.
You're so method. Yeah. Like,
like, I'm like, I would like, no, this totally. Is catchy,
but it also makes sense because it's like. It has to be good enough for people to like be down with her.
I think the other thing too that's really interesting about it is that you can like there are some Raina songs where I'm like, this sounds like a Doja Cat reference track.
Mm, like you see who she's ripping off.
Right. But then that is how music actually does work.
Yes.
So then it's like this really, it does a really good job of capturing the uncanny valley of pop music and the music industry.
Totally.
And that is really, really cool to me.
Definitely, like if these were like actual artists right now who are like releasing music, it's like she would do that.
Right.
She would like be like a kind of like watered down a little bit version of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then these people like have this kind of like fun new sound or whatever that you're like, oh, that could also like be getting popular. Mm-hmm. It also shows so well, and then I'll move on or whatever. But I feel like it's very cool to see the thing of like people trying to like be artists and like have momentum and then it stop. It's such like a real thing, and it's like so cool to see that in a show. Like you really think it's like, oh my god, now they're gonna, you know, have this thing and it's gonna be smooth sailing, and like how bumpy it is and how long it takes and like all the like the false like promises and stuff. It's kind of like fun. I don't know if I've really seen that in like a show.
It being that realistic. Yeah, it's usually
just like you think that's like
vertical.
And then you make it, now it's like they've blown up, they're huge, and that's
right. The kind of like Star Is Born, like boom, like you got whatever, but it's like they had this big tour and then the whole second season is them being like, or not the whole second season. I can't remember what starts when. But then after their like big tour where they like meet all these people who are like giving them all these promises, they're kind of like it back in their like apartments like, fuck.
Right.
And it's like, that's really true.
That is
like,
really
that's
true.
Really real. Like
you like get stuff and you're like, this is it. And then it's like, and actually like that kind of peters out and then you're like, all right, never mind.
And their friends are like, wait, what happened with like this person and this person? They're like, I don't know. Like,
right.
Yeah.
They still said they liked me, but like, I don't know, you know? And it's like, okay.
Oh my God.
Damn.
That uncertainty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Poor Things. What'd you guys think?
We saw it together.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
I loved it.
Yeah. I thought that I love seeing something great and then immediately coming up with the most reductive way to describe it.
Uh-huh.
And
Let's hear it.
Mine for this is it is a feminist socialist Forrest Gump.
Totally. Because it's like...
I never saw that.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Wait,
kind of is like a feminist socialist Forrest Gump. Like, again, slightly artier.
Right, right. Yeah, I said that to a critic and I could see the respect for me drain.
Wait, why is it... Because it's like he goes on this journey.
Yeah, he just goes on this journey and he's just learning about life.
Right.
Right. Yeah. With this kind of like childlike perspective.
Right. Yes. Childlike perspective in an adult body. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Something also like a character... I was like stricken by like that she's kind of impenetrable. Mm. And she's like, she has all these human attributes, but also she like doesn't have, actually I thought this was interesting. It's like, you see her only a few times get really upset. You see her get upset when she learns about like hardship in the world, but she's not so upset when like someone's threatening her. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. she's very actually stony in a way that isn't totally explained by the fact that she's like has a kid brain.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a kid would get upset if someone was like, I'm going to kidnap you.
Right.
She's like,
No, it left kid territory. It did leave kid territory.
She just was
godlike.
Like, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was kind of godlike. She has this like superhero quality, actually, which is interesting.
Right. Yeah, there was a point where when she was first, like the first time we like saw her and she was like really talking like a kid in a way that felt so accurate, I was like, whoa. Like that's really, I feel like how like a toddler would like speak and like use, and just like language patterns or whatever. And then when... there was a moment where she like started speaking more where I was kind of like, oh, it's like losing its accuracy. But then it became this other thing that I was like, oh, that's cool. It's kind of like not about her being a kid. It's just about her being like she's different like or whatever.
Oh, she's just a weird person.
She's quirky.
Right. Yeah. Right. Actually, like I was hung up on that a little bit of like the accuracy of like, well, like the Piagetian stages of development. You know what I mean? Or I'm like, well, like, I don't think that's actually how kids talk when they learn language. Like, they do know, like, this kind of conjugation, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not, like, such a fun way of thinking about it.
No, but no problem.
Yeah, I was interested in the what it said about jealousy and possession, self-possession. I don't actually know if I have, like, so much insightful stuff to say about it yet. But I was...
It's still fresh.
It's fresh. I also feel... You know what I appreciate? It's, like, any movie where it's, like, you're doing something different.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. It was just fun to watch.
It's just like, fun. Like, yeah, image. It's inventive. The world was inventive. It had a premise that was, like, kind of special. Mm-hmm. I also... We talked about this on the last episode, but I'm reading Frankenstein right now. Whoa. Like, kind of randomly, and it's so apt.
Yeah.
It's, like, this is totally a Frankenstein story.
Yeah.
I mean, very... And... I mean, I haven't gotten all the way through Frankenstein.
What drove you to read Frankenstein?
Somebody recommended it to me.
And sometimes that's enough.
And they said it's actually really good and it's short.
Yeah.
And there's like a interesting like queer narrative in Frankenstein, which I haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah.
The idea of transhumanism or?
Kind of. And I also think just like gay, like.
Or what? Right.
But yeah, tell me. Now. Right now.
Okay. Like what is it?
Or I'm not there yet.
I don't know. I don't know yet. What's queer about it?
You know what?
Oh, because these two, it's like the guy makes a monster. I don't know.
I get it because gayness is like you want to fuck yourself a little bit, like because it's like same
maybe
in terms of the parts. I haven't sometimes. Read all
that. I'm into it.
Yeah.
The thing is that you could say anything and it could be that.
Totally.
Right. Yeah. It's like, and I'm giving it a shot. Honestly, right. I'm saying anything.
The guy also sent me an article that was about how it's queer, so I can read that and let you guys know.
Okay.
No, I'll tell you why it's queer.
Yeah. Get in there.
He's this gay guy, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I think. And he made this monster gay.
Right.
And the doctor in it is a man.
Yes.
Okay, because I'm thinking that Mary Shelley was the doctor for a little bit. My wires got crossed.
She's actually the author.
You're doing a major feminism slay.
Yeah, I really kind of was. And
so, because I thought the doctor was a woman.
Yeah, I thought that they were kind of like gay besties, you know, like she's his hag. And then, like, she's just constructing him, putting him together.
Right. He's
kind of
fun.
Dependent on her
they should
for
do
his identity.
Wait, like a Frankenstein thing, but it's her and it's the monster and he's gay and then they go shopping.
Literally.
I don't give a damn, I'm a reputation.
He's like, let's swipe the Amex.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to the mall.
He's like, he's trying something on. She's like, and then he like turns it around. He realizes she's wearing it backwards. Yeah. She's like, that's good.
But I think that he also should just speak in grunts. I think that's it.
Right. Wait, this is really good, guys.
Yeah. No, there's something interesting. I mean, and this was a Frankenstein tale, totally. Like Poor Things.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, literally.
I mean, literally, right? It's like not actually.
I feel like, and you were saying this last night, and I do kind of want to say that I feel like it is true in like this really kind of obvious way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
No, 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 right. I'm not like...
Because you keep being like, it's, it really is it's a Frankenstein, like Frankenstein.
It's like,
tale.
No, no, it's like literally like, well, they say that in the trailer.
She has like that Frankenstein scar right, like, on right, her head right. and like, right. you know what I mean?
Right, it's like they're
but
pretty much saying
what
that.
I'll give you is, it's so ironic that you're reading Frankenstein.
That's what is really yeah. special.
Yes. Yeah.
And I didn't know.
It really is a Frankenstein tale.
The things you just live your life and like, things line up sometimes.
Perfect. Like you're reading me a and book. The FedEx guy right, at the corner exactly. at the stoplight.
Right, perfect. Should we do another idea?
Let's do it.
Do Natalie's first idea?
Okay. Please, please, thank you.
I hope it's about Frankenstein.
Bro, I got bad news for you.
Shoot.
Pick out of a hat control.
Oh, well, this is interesting in terms of our free will combo before, but when you have to pick something out of a hat mm-hmm. and like you're doing it, like I always have this feeling like I can control what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can pick up it in a certain way that like gets me what I need to get.
Because you're not just going to the first one. You're like, I'm feeling around.
Like,
and
you're really like thinking and feeling and whatever.
Are you doing literally like, well, the paper I want was this size.
No, it's more just like, there's a right and a wrong way to play this.
Yeah.
Which is not true.
Yeah, but you feel like whatever you're doing is contributing to you getting the right thing.
Right.
Yes, yeah.
Because it is. Yeah. Or the wrong, like you are either blowing it or working it.
Yeah, people never just grab it. Everyone's like, ooh, let me shake it.
There's
let
a
me
shaking, there's it. A touching.
Yeah.
Which is so, like, if you really were just being, like, a real, like, vibe person, then you would be like, just pick up whatever. Because it's the same thing as swooshing it around. But you kind of have to swoosh it.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
What if someone, like, put a bunch of stuff into a hat and they were like, pick it out of the hat, and then you pulled out a rabbit? Wouldn't that be kind of interesting?
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Right. It just would be hilarious, basically.
To me, it's impossible.
Right. But that's where magic
comes
in. Where
was the rabbit?
Right. But that's where magic comes in.
Right.
Magic rabbit out of a hat. That's one of the classics.
Well, I, a couple months ago, probably about maybe six now, mm-hmm. watched The Prestige.
Right.
So I know all about this.
What is that?
You need to watch this movie.
Okay.
It's the number one, like, actually worst movie I ever saw. It's Christian Bale or Christian Reeves or Cristiano Reeves.
Cristiano Reeves. I think it's Cristiano Reeves.
Yeah. Okay. I don't remember who it is, but
maybe Christian Bale,
Hugh Grant or Hugh Jackman or something, and they're both magicians in this town, and it's like England in like a steampunk way, like it's like, but they randomly like have magicians,
uh-huh.
and they're like rivals, like they're like, I'm the best magician, mm-hmm. and like one of them has these tricks that they're just like, how does he do it? Like, this is too crazy.
Yeah,
it's so good. Like, he's disappearing, he's coming back, like blah blah, and then the other guy, he's like working in a lab because he's like, I need to beat this first guy, like, because he has these crazy tricks. He creates this thing where you can multiply yourself. This is a major spoiler. We're doing the whole movie right now, but I think it's good enough that I can tell you. So the second guy makes a thing that duplicates you, so he starts duplicating himself in the tricks and then killing the duplicate, you know what I mean? So it'll be like he's like over here and then goes behind a curtain and then he's right over there. But it's actually his twin that he duplicated himself, and he kills the duplicate afterwards. Then you find out that the whole time, the reason the first guy was so good is because he is a secret twins. It's two people. And you guys are upset.
No.
We're fully
engaged. Oh, you love it. Okay.
I need to know how this ends.
So the first guy was twins. It was two different people who were pretending to have one life.
Right.
For the sake of doing magic.
But so, harmoniously.
Harmoniously, as one. And, you know, one of them loved this girl, and they were both with her, but, you know, she was like, sometimes you act really weird. He was like, I know, like, that's my twin.
Right.
And it ends in a way I can't remember.
Right. Oh, my God.
I believe it. But
I need to know.
I know. Well, that's honestly the ending, is you find out about the duplicating and the duplicating.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually...
But then there's, like, one more button.
I think that one of them kills the other one.
It turns out it's like that one of them becomes a major historical figure that we know now.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah. One of them is...
One of them is Benjamin Franklin.
One of them is Benjamin Franklin.
Right.
So
it's a story about Benjamin Franklin and his ancestors.
It's called Ben.
Before Ben. Yeah. Sorry that I said that whole thing.
No.
I'm just really wanting
about that
to have said it.
Is that you're like, you can make a movie, and if you just have like the thing of like, yeah, like, so science is possible. Like, you really get to, or like magic science is possible.
I know.
Like in Poor Things, it's like, yeah, like, okay, what if you could put a brain in a different person? It's like, let's see what would happen. And then it's like, well, you can. It's like, well, it doesn't matter. It's a movie we're going to see. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it does open up a lot of plot opportunities.
You know what I was thinking about? Edie Monica has this thing, like, about, like, why do all famous people have those little nipples? Like, how do they know that they're going to be... you know what I mean? Like,
what?
Like, all, like... celebrities have these like perfect little nipples. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? They never have like kind of like big areolas or whatever. And it's like, how? Like, because they got famous before anyone knew that. But then when they do, like, you know what I mean?
Wait, that's interesting.
I was thinking about that with Emma Stone and her little teeny nipples.
Right.
Does she have little teeny nipples?
Teenies.
You were there.
I wasn't paying attention to that stuff.
Oh, I can't help you.
Right. I was being like, where's the cock? That's what
I was.
And
where was
it?
Was there any?
No, I don't think so.
So
no,
there
might have been like a glimpse of Mark.
Oh, you know what? There was cock. Remember when she's playing with the guy's dick before she cuts his eyes up?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the dead
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, that's like early in the movie.
Yeah.
Are we spoiling like a ton of it?
Yeah, I mean it's a spoiler-filled episode. I would say it kind of is.
Right, but by the way, like
I would say spoiler...
this will come out in a few weeks. Like you had the time to watch it.
I think. Feel your vibe of wanting more cock in movies, I think.
Yeah.
I think that I want cock to occupy more of the cinematic imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's kind of refined to like just a punchline a lot of the time.
Right.
We don't give the dick a chance to really
give the art.
To be erotic.
Well,
it's like always thought of as gross or like
right, goofy, silly. It is definitely like you see dick in a movie and you're like, whoa.
Totally.
Like we're taking it there. You know what I mean? Like
definitely. It's like
it's how you reacted. You're like, you see a dick, you're like, what is that doing in here?
No.
Like it does kind of puncture the thing of like,
whoa.
I'm paying attention now.
Yeah.
Right. It's a dong.
Oh, there also was a dick in the movie with the guy in the whorehouse. Whatever.
Which guy?
Right, yes, hair. Yeah, yeah.
And actually it was like, this is so like...
Oh, right.
And he has like long hair or whatever.
Right.
And it actually was like, it's cool to see like just like a naked body.
Yeah. Because
you're like, that actually does come up in life.
Naked bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, God willing.
From time to time, right. Like you really are seeing that kind of thing. Like yours, others, like it just happens, you know?
But then again, you can sometimes go like 5 years without seeing anyone.
Right.
Or not anyone, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
With not like, that's like... You do need like public naked spaces to really see that. Like,
right.
Or else you can be having a different idea
of what's normal.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
Right.
We talked about this a lot. Yeah, I feel like actually, like the nude beach, kind of like Filene's basement changing room,
open area,
crossover of like getting to see like older naked bodies and being like, yay, that's what it is.
Yeah.
These get so interesting. Like,
what was your idea?
I didn't have one, Charlie.
Wasn't it something with the hat?
Oh, yeah. It was just that thing about the hat. I'm really lucky that it went all these different places.
Wait, what thing was it?
It was like, you think you can control the paper. Like, it was nothing.
I remember
the
that.
Thinking of
yeah, it,
it
was
yeah.
so
What kind
whatever.
Of stuff would you want to be pulling out of a hat right now?
The name of a partner that you have to go make up a dance with.
So yes.
It's one of the people in this room.
Wait, totally. Great idea.
Four of us.
We should do that
teams
at the party tonight.
Sure.
Wait.
By the way, guys, my roommate's birthday party is tonight if you want to come.
Okay. I'm coming.
Yeah. Trey's going to be there. I think it'll be fun,
Where
honestly. It's at my apartment.
Okay.
Fort Greene.
I was literally about to give you like the full address.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, well, why don't you be a little more specific?
How is he going to get there if he doesn't know? Yeah. And I just clean my bathroom for
That's why you're doing a lot of cleaning.
Yeah, definitely. That's why.
Well, the thing with having a parties at Natalie's apartment is that it's like Natalie's room becomes this like the third zone. Do you know what I mean? It's so like
chic hangout vibe.
And sometimes you're like sometimes you're in there and like like you're there with like four people and like the rest of the party is outside and you're like, yeah, we're cool. And then sometimes you're like, where are all my friends? Like,
yeah.
And then you go to Natalie's room and it's like, you guys have been in here having an amazing
it's
time.
It's so actually hard like that. And when I had my birthday party at my apartment and I actually could not find a friend the entire night. It was all people that I invited personally.
Right.
And the whole time I was like,
Weird.
Who are you guys?
Right.
Where are my friends?
Right.
And what is going on?
Right.
Like, it actually was really interesting and strange. Like, I was like, I guess that's kind of a different combo.
Well, there were people that you recognized or people that
it was all people I knew and had invited. But you couldn't find the
person that you were really looking for.
I think so. I think
you were like, where's my like eight people?
Right. Like you have like a close group of friends, but then you invite a wide net to a party and then it's like fun to see everyone, but you're like, and I'm also not spending time with the main people because I see them all the time or
And you can whatever. Also, you can have like, throwing a party, especially for your birthday party, it can kind of be almost boring because you have this role of like being a socialite where you're like welcoming people. You're like, it was fun. I just went to the, I just went shopping with like my girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, totally.
Like, and then my parents and I did a little thing last night and you're like talking to like someone you don't really want to talk to and all your friends are like a room away being like,
Exactly. It's so fun to be the like kid in the back of the bus. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that feeling
or
is
like
so good.
In the back of the class talking and then when it's your party it's like
it's like Rachel Koster's joke where she's like, I don't like doing drugs but I like being in a I like coming into a room and all my friends are there and they're like, close the door, close the door.
I keep doing this thing lately. I feel so addicted to like, and I don't know, like this is feeling kind of like my mom's a therapist kind of vibe, but like when someone like does something rude that, where you're like, and then you and a friend try and like come up with the thing they should have done instead. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, it's just like, why did they say it to me like that? Like, they could have just said like, hey, I'm feeling weird about this. I want to talk. And you come up with this like amazing sentence. And I feel like it's kind of going rogue with me lately where I'm doing it like for everyone. Like someone's like, if there's like, they're out of something at a restaurant. It like comes off like harsh when the waiter says it. It's like, how about this? Like, hey, like, I'm sure some of you guys are excited about the lobster. Like, we have really bad news. The lobster's not here, but we are going to do whatever we can to like do like messaging so strong and like it's like, you know what, like no like I don't need to be like the PR team for like every single like person I interact with, like and also like I feel like that's poor things too where it was like something cool about the idea that if you were honest, if you had no filter, like you wouldn't upset people as much or something, because like
it's like the lie that
or something, I don't know,
you know. It's interesting because it's like, why is that so okay, I guess a corollary of that is like when you do that and like someone's telling a story and you kind of think where they're going is like getting annoyed at the way someone said something and you're like, right, because it's like, why would they even do that? And then they're kind of like, no, 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 that's not, like, I understand why they would do that and that's not why I'm telling you this. And you're kind of chastened because you're like so eager to like cast dispersions on someone. And it's like, why are we so, why does it feel really good sometimes to be like, their conduct was bad? Like, it just is so satisfying and feels really good to be like, yeah, that was like crazy that they did that and like so rude. And it's like, well, guess what? Unfortunately, like most people are trying their best. And actually, like for better or worse, like it's really hard to do everything right. And I know it sucks because you wish that it's like the reality was like they had a choice to do a good way or a bad way. And they chose a bad way because they don't care and they're bad. It's like, but the reality is it's like, it's hard.
Right.
And they just didn't. And that's how it went.
We have to forgive.
I kind of get that, but I get to a point where I become so obsessed about doing the math of figuring out what led them to the point of saying that thing. Do you know what I mean? Right. Where it's almost like, instead of being like, what if they said this? I'm like, well, they said this. I mean, I guess it was rainy out that day.
Right.
I guess like, and I'm trying to rationalize it. And then I'll get to a point where I'm like, I've really unlocked this person's character and I feel like I understand them so much. And sometimes I'll even be like, hey, like when you said that, like I understand like it was probably this, this, and this. And they're like, oh no, I kind of just really fucking hated you in that moment.
I wanted
to hurt your feelings. Right.
Like giving someone the benefit of the doubt, like so much humanity and like sympathy and just writing like a totally random story. Like, like of course, like there is jealousy like going on with you and I totally hear that. And I get that that can make you like say things in a curt way. And it's like, what?
They're literally like taking out their headphones and they're like, sorry, were you talking? Like, the idea of like with a server at a restaurant, like saying something in a curt way and you're like, you know, like, it probably is really hard for them. Like, they probably were busy. And it might be frustrating to see us. And it's like, they're working and we're not. And, like, I'm sure they would want to be, like, dining. And so there is maybe a built-up resentment. And that's totally understandable. Meanwhile, they're like, you're just fucking annoying. Yeah, like, I don't care. That's all.
Totally. I feel like it's, like, a thing I got from my mom of, like, there is this idea that like there is an okay and unhurtful way to do everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, that's interesting.
Like I've had this like ideal in my head where like every conversation, every situation and like, or like conflict or whatever, there's a way that it could be like handled and articulated that like leaves people feeling good or
and
something.
It does give you, I mean, talk about like free will, like the idea of controlling something like that, where it's like I'm going to control how other people feel by like using the perfect set of words to manage this thing. And like if you expect that of other people, you can expect that of yourself. But often you're like, there's nothing I can do, like we don't have the lobster ravioli anymore, and you're gonna be upset. Like there's no way I can soften that message, or like I can kind of soften it and like do a little, but it's like I won't take away from the fact that it's like you won't get to have it.
And then you know what, on the receiving end sometimes I get angry when people really package the message.
It's so like,
because especially if I notice the effort, I'm like, you put that bow, you got the box, you got the presentation all right on the message, but there's still no lobster ravioli.
Like
why didn't you use all of that effort to get some fucking lobster ravioli?
And like, and I was like I had to wade through all this like rapping and like random words to like get to the point, which is that I'm upset.
Right, exactly.
I like have to do all this decoding.
Yeah,
I wonder if it's also a thing of where it like kind of denies you the. It's like then if someone is putting in so much effort into being polite, like then it becomes a way of neutralizing your upset and like takes away your right of being upset. Like if someone says something hard in a way that's so like packaged in like capital C considerate, that then it makes it like, well, I'm fucking angry and now I'm an asshole for it because you were so polite and like I want to be angry. You know, there's a part of that too. I don't know,
so maybe the perfect message is an imperfect message.
Like
I'm like the waiter is like, by the way, fuck you, there's no lobster ravioli. I don't give a fucking shit, you're ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly, none of you deserve to be here, you make me fucking sick. Kill yourself, takes water, splashes it in your face.
Well, okay, that's the thing that I was thinking about from Poor Things is like, okay, so this character has this like trait that's supposed to be, I think, childlike, where she doesn't have a filter and just says whatever she wants. And I was like, if you knew that someone had that or something, you weren't expecting kindness in like the delivery of something. Like, I feel like it would take out so much hurt that you have towards the way people do things, because you're just like, people's raw feelings and emotions are so like fair usually, you know,
speaking to that, I don't, and what's crazy is I don't remember what the person said, but it was life-changing. I remember
someone once said something amazing. Can you guys believe that?
There was, I remember in college there was someone in my friend group who was known to at times be like no filter, very direct, but not like in a fun, quirky way, kind of in a like lacking consideration and self-awareness kind of way. In a way that was like kind of neutralized in the dynamic, but you kind of knew that from them. And they said something about me once that, and I don't forget, I really truly think my ego just could not handle it and just like cast it aside. But I,
you're like looking directly into the sun.
But that's exactly what it was like, where I remember them saying it and me being like, I'm never doing that again. If knowing that you, who does not do the nicety and the consideration thing, if you thought that, if I'm seeing myself from that angle of
the mirror,
they
were making fun of like something you said or did.
It, but the thing is that they weren't making fun. They were just saying it like it was a matter of fact thing. But it was like, it was, and I wish I could remember what it was.
I need to know what the thing was.
Oh, but it truly, it really felt like,
wow.
It just,
wait,
like
you're saying you can't do that
information.
Like direct, just staring into the sun. And I was like, wow, okay, if you think that about that, if you think that about me, it just like, someone said once, and I remember what they said, they said that every person is a disco ball and every person is a light, and whenever two people interact, you're shining a light on different parts of each person's disco ball.
Amazing. People so, are like, saying the best stuff to you.
I kind of am just a really great listener.
People are always like, get off your phone. I don't get that kind of stuff.
Get out, you're in front of my car.
Right.
But that person's light was the sun. Like, right. It just like totally hit an angle of my ball that I had not seen before. And I was like, I'm never forgetting this angle. Like, right.
The intensity of whatever the feedback was being so like blaringly honest that you had to, that it changed your behavior forever and you blacked out the moment. Right. Like, you were like immediately course correcting and obliviating this. Like, it did not happen.
I'm never going to do that again. And I never did
and
it.
And I never did. And never I never even did
it. Because if knowing that I did it is too much to handle.
Totally.
No, it's actually so brutal. Like, some self-knowledge is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's like people really see you and right. It's like, oh my God, that's so scary and bad. What was it?
But it kind of is like the awareness of like needing to be like kind or whatever, I feel like, is the thing that makes it. Like, when you're, like, I feel like nannying, like, kids will say things that are really rude. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, being like, I remember one time I was working with a kid who was like, your teeth, like, back here, your front teeth are really white, but the teeth over here are yellow. And I was like, word. Right. Like, you got me there. Obviously, I know that. Right. You know what I mean? Like, but guess what? I've never been able to talk to someone about this. So, yeah.
I remember once my youngest brother was like, you have a lot of pimples on your face. And I was like, right.
But that stuff is not weird when you're alone with the kid.
Right.
And when you're in front of another adult, it's like excruciating. Mm-hmm. It's so embarrassing. Yeah. Like, if the parent is home and they're like, what's that? You know, like pointing at your like whatever gash on your face. And it's like, I don't know, something about like them not being sad for you or embarrassed or something is like a
or
big.
Or even it just being something that's hanging in the air and they're adult enough to not acknowledge it. Like, do they acknowledge it?
Oh my God. Yeah. Wait. Is that related?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I think it was supposed to be. I feel like it was supposed to be.
Yeah. I want to say more on it. What was the thing? It's we're talking about like just the way you deliver like kind of harsh. The delivery. Like that. Right.
But
it's
then I wanted to tie back in with what you were saying where you're like something feels so good about being able to say that person didn't say it right.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right.
Mm-hmm. In doing the imperfect delivery, you're giving that person that gift.
Yes. Totally.
Like the biggest gift kind of is letting someone be self-righteous.
Yes.
Completely. We've talked about this before.
Yeah. Like when you fuck up something, you're like, well, at least this, like, Merry Christmas.
Right. Yeah. So you have something to talk about. Yeah. Like, I was a little bit of a dick. Like, totally. Have some fucking fun for once.
Totally. Yeah. I was late and I kind of made things weird.
Right.
Like, and that's yours to go forth with. Like, congratulations. Completely.
Especially when you have, like, drama in your life and it's like you don't handle it well. And then you know that there's, like, a spectatorship element and you're like, literally, it's like, let's give them something to talk about.
Yeah. It's so like, eat it up, boys.
Eat it up, boys. You're hungry for like, to have something at dinner or drinks for people to be like, and then he said he did this. And it was like, why are you doing that? It just is so crazy. Why would you make that decision? And you're like, you're welcome. Do you think someone needed like something to talk about?
Right.
But, and by the way, like me too, like other people do stuff and it feels so good to be like, just, and then like, always get so drunk and it's like, stop doing that. Like, you're making everybody uncomfortable. It's like, what a gift.
No, it feeds
if everybody
town.
Acted right all the time, it would be like, oh, I guess we could see that movie again. Like, what would we even do?
But then there's also the paranoia of being like, that's gonna be me. Like, it's going to be me.
What do you mean?
Oh, because it has to be someone.
Like, for someone to be talking about.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes
yeah.
you know it's you.
Right.
That's like true. Sometimes you do fuck up and you're like, all right.
It's my time.
Like, I gotta, there's all these like celebrity songs that are about that. We were talking about this a few episodes ago, like
Rumors
by Lindsay Lohan. Like, and it's funny because it's a really celebrity experience.
Yeah.
It's like,
what's the Britney
okay,
one?
Okay, yeah.
Circus.
That, Circus. No, but
I mean,
also,
the whole thing, Circus, is about that.
Piece of Me.
Piece of Me.
Right, where she's like, you want a piece of me? Like, everybody's talking about me and like, you're welcome. Yeah. You know, I'll give you fucking something to talk about. So good.
Yeah.
But then it's funny because that actually like, it's one of those things where it's like really about being a celebrity and so it's not super relatable. And yet everybody actually has moments where like, even if it's in your like six person office where you feel like kind of a celebrity.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I got yelled at by the boss and everybody saw it. Like, because I was on my phone in the meeting and now everybody like feels awkward around me. Like, I guess like they can't stop talking about me, huh? Like, see you guys, I bet you talked about me in your little lunch, Joanne and Mary, like... You're welcome. Like, sorry that your lives are so boring. You have to talk about me getting yelled at for being on my phone. Literally, it's so fun.
Right. Well, that is like the thing of like, I feel like in like, it's so confusing with celebrity, especially now where it's kind of like, Well, I'm like, okay, so like when a parent at like my high school that was like kind of small had like an affair or something, like that was celebrity. You can't go anywhere like without someone talking about you or whatever. Right. It's like
in your school, it's like that's real.
Yeah, like people that person was Britney or whatever. Right. Yeah.
It's just weird that because the scale is obviously so different.
I was just about to say that.
Like you really can't go, like the difference between like, oh my God, I can't go like to the high school play versus like I actually can't go to a restaurant anywhere without like, you know, having people know. And that must actually be categorically a different experience.
Yeah.
Literally, like, inescapable celebrity.
I have been around people who have had that experience. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is that it transcends their, like, physical form sometimes. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, how did that person even clock you in this space? You're so incognito.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like something in the air.
People know.
What
it's like,
is that? Yeah. What is that?
No, people are really good at recognizing celebrities where it's like, I need, like, a banner.
Yeah.
But some people really are like, they're in glasses, they're in a hat, and it's like the randomest looking white guy.
No, but sometimes it's like when there is a guy in glasses and a hat, it's so celebrity. Right. But then it's like, what, are they not gonna wear a hat?
Right.
But then it's kind of like, you're kind of acting like a celebrity right now, like in your glasses and your hat.
Right. It's so tough.
They need to make something else, something new, something like a visor and a pipe. Something else, just like
they're in like Groucho Marx glasses.
Yeah, literally.
Basically. I think that would throw me though.
Yeah. 100%. Oh, right. Like you would look twice.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Angelina Jolie. Like she's going shopping. She's in Groucho Marx glasses.
I'm just completely like, blown.
Who is that? Or it's like the idea of it's like, sir. It's like she can have a little piece. She wears her Groucho.
Oh, I see.
Do you know what I mean by Groucho Marx?
I totally do.
Yeah. Let's do a next idea.
Okay. I'm just thinking of something. If I was famous, I would wear a bald cap and and I think that would do a lot because I don't think anyone would think of that as me. No.
Right.
And then also I think that they would be thrown enough just by the bald cap that they would be afraid to.
Right.
Right. It's like on the cover of every magazine. Like, why did she do that?
Right.
You know what you can do is you just, I don't know if this would work. You just like always pretend to be on a call.
You're no, Charlie, like, it doesn't work now for the paparazzi.
No, of course.
Celebrities getting photographed like,
sorry, just give me 1 second. Everybody puts their cameras down respectfully.
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, it's just going to be a minute.
He's on a call.
Right.
Christmas morning acne.
Okay, Christmas morning acne. I wonder if you guys will relate to this. This is the thing of when, like, I associate it with the experience of Christmas morning. Anything where you wake up hurriedly to check something. In the morning, right? Like in Christmas morning, it's like, oh my God, the presents, right? Mm-hmm. Christmas morning acne is when you have like a pimple and you're like, oh, I wonder if it's gone.
Oh, totally.
And you check and you're like, no.
Yes.
Or sometimes it's like, I wonder if I got that email about the job.
Right.
Or it's like, I wonder if I got like this DM about something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like anything where you're like, ooh, maybe, like you wake up, you're like,
totally.
First thing in the morning, you like run to check something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's acne to see if it's gone away.
I literally got that right now.
I got my patch on right now.
There's nothing like the patches.
I love
They are so good.
The patches are kind of like the music in that joke.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, totally. Like they're kind of saying like, I'm on this.
Right.
Like,
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's so
aware.
True with a pimple where it's like part of the thing that's embarrassing is it's like, you have something on your face.
Yeah.
It's like,
look over there.
Right. Exactly.
The acknowledging it is the part. And it just quietly, gracefully is like, I see it.
I'm on it.
And I don't do like the star ones that are ostentatious. I'm like, look, I don't need to be like a clown about this. Right. Like, but I know. And it's okay. They're so good.
I feel like my sister is a person for me whose role is to like her thing is like alerting me when something's going on in my face. Mm-hmm. Like, even if I know, and I definitely know. Like,
like
there's a pimple that has like white stuff on it, she's like, Natalie, like, do you know what's going on? And I feel like the patch would be a message to like, say, like,
I
do have it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And that's sometimes why I pop a pimple with a white thing, just to say, like, there was work here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, even though it's like, it looks like bad or even worse.
Takes longer to heal. Yeah, it's like having the white part sometimes is just so, just makes you look so unaware.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So true.
Even if you're actively, like, herding it along, healing it, watching over it.
You're doing all the right stuff because you're not supposed to pop it.
Yeah, no.
Famously, you're basically not ever supposed to pop it. Ever. Is that true?
But it feels so good.
I mean, there's just nothing better. Yeah. Like, nothing unfortunately, better. It's like, what did you want us to do? Like, why did you make it so that this is the best feeling in the world?
Yeah.
I don't like it that much.
See, I love it. And then when it goes away naturally on its own, I feel robbed.
Right.
I'm like, I didn't get to pop it.
What was the process? Yeah. Totally. Well,
it's this totally, I must have said this before, but like the thing of it, the reason it's so appealing is because it's like this idea, like there is something wrong inside me and I need to excise it.
Yeah.
But actually, like, that's not really what's happening. Like the goop is just a sign of like an inflammation, right? That's like white blood cells or whatever.
Yeah.
So like.
But the goop does need to get out.
But also you can kind of, like often by getting it out, you're inflaming it more.
Right.
So it's actively unhelpful. But we have this idea where it's like, this is a tumor, I need to get rid of it.
Guys, this reminds me of when I had glass in my hand or foot or something.
That was so suspenseful.
In my mouth. And it was like the best experience of my life. Like I was so happy, like pushing it, squeezing it so that it like picked its head up a little bit more and then catching it with a tweezer, like was one of my top moments of my life.
Oh,
so I do get the pimple popping thing in that way.
Do you like Dr. Pimple Popper?
No.
Because I don't either. That's
I think
a little
I don't want it
to
be pus. I think I want it to be glass.
Right. And that's, I mean, that's perfect. I don't want to get too into like the different kinds, but you know my thing with it? Well, because it can be gross.
Oh,
my thing with it is like also there's it's a useful metaphor where a lot of the time we're like we think of like our emotions as needing to be vented in the same way that you think of like a pimple as needing to be popped and excised, but actually like by venting you're often just re-inflaming like the thing and it's not like a problem of like there's a discrete massive emotion inside me that I just need to remove. It's like there's an inflammatory process that's creating this negative emotion.
That's interesting,
and
Charlie.
It needs to be smooth.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Thank you, actually.
That's very, very good.
Thank you. I'm getting like a stamp of approval on
you
from this.
I'm feeling you're needing to DM that to one of those kind of like OCD Instagram pages.
Right. Hey, just something I was thinking about.
Like try thinking about it like a pimple you need to not pop.
Right.
Rather
but it's like
than...
it's like the mistake you kind of make in the metaphor.
What would be the pimple patch for that? For the emotional.
Whoa. Well, because the thing with the pimple patch that's so good is that it's actually like the idea that it's like, oh, it's helping suck the stuff out is actually not so true to me. I think it's more that it prevents you from.
Yeah.
It's literally just a physical barrier.
Yeah.
That makes you be like, I'm on it.
What is the pimple patch?
What's the pimple patch for your emotions where you're just like. Kind of it's doing something, but mostly it's just preventing me from doing the worst thing.
Well, you know, they say with obsessive thoughts, like what you're like, the ideal thing is like, acknowledge it, like, okay, and move on.
Right.
Like you're not supposed to distract yourself from it, but see it, move on. So the pimple patch is like the see it part.
Right.
But I don't know what it is. But whoever figures it out, easy $1 million idea.
Easy.
Easier than anything.
Right. Because it's, I'm trying to think of like, what are the things that, like, what's the a kind of emotion that you might have that, like, I'm talking about? It's like an
angry,
anger at someone.
Happy, sad.
Right. You're really angry at someone who's frustrating you. And, like, and maybe this is sometimes true. Like, it could be helpful that it's like the idea of venting sometimes does work, actually, but it doesn't always work. Sometimes you're like, God, I just need to talk about this with someone. And then you talk about it, and then it's like, actually, I'm feeling more angry now that it's like I'm kind of riled up about it. But sometimes you do vent and you're like, I just needed to get that out. I was just frustrated. Now I feel better. And it's not always easy to know which is which.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is like a discrete mass of feeling that you need to like excise. But often it's not. I don't know. And I don't know what the pimple patch version of that is. Where it's like you think you want to do it, but actually you just need to like...
Walk away.
Walk away or like have a thing where you're just like covering it.
Mm.
God, they're so amazing. I have two pimple patches on my back right now.
Whoa.
I didn't even get them there.
I know. Well, I don't get face acne anymore. It's all on my back and it's horrible. And I don't...
Isn't that, wouldn't you prefer that?
Yes, but it's quite painful.
Oh, the, sorry.
Yeah, those do not feel good.
No, they don't. And it's also so odd. And also it's often hard because I'm like, I really want to pop this. And that you can't.
When did you start getting the...
Kind of like within the last few months.
When did you start going to the gym?
Exactly.
What? The mats?
Yeah.
The showers?
The mats, but also the sweat.
The sweat. It
the
just,
sweat and the friction of your
wait,
back.
Wait, okay. Right. That was literally like Mr. Monk. Total detective mode. Like, that was cool. When did you start going to the gym? Aha.
Aha. The sweat. Yeah. So, and also I was wondering, actually, like, I started this new protein powder and I was like, that's kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. It's like something in that, like, those are really intense testosterone-y chemicals in that protein powder. Like, it definitely impacts your, like, hormone system.
You're having, like, another puberty.
Basically. I think, because I know that that's a thing with, like, guys who are on steroids. Get, like, crazy back knee. And I'm like, I'm not on steroids, but I'm on protein powder, which is, like, steroids junior.
Is it?
I was about to say. Now, that's an interesting idea.
I don't know.
But the thing is, though, being testosterone or something?
Yeah.
It when you first started, it does feel like that, though.
Right.
Like, are you on creatine?
No.
Creatine, truly, when you first started, you're like, I'm doing crack cocaine.
Wait, why? It gives you energy?
Well, it, like, when you're exercising, you just feel a marked difference in before and the after of the creatine in a way where it's like, if you're not bodybuilding or anything at all, it feels like performance enhancing drugs.
Right.
And it
should I get on creatine? Maybe.
Wait, what is creatine?
It is, fuck. It's like,
How do I tell this fucking girl?
I'm not monk anymore.
Yeah. You're demonked.
Yeah, you're demonked.
Wait, it goes in your smoothie.
Yeah, it's like there's powders, there's pill forms. I think it comes from cows.
Yeah, I bet.
Say less, beef tallow.
I was so in on like supplements for a while, and then I was like, wait.
No.
Because I was taking a lot of B12 and I was really evangelizing it. I was like, it's the one supplement that really made me feel like more awake. Like it helps in like conversion of food to energy. And then I read one study. And by the way, when I say that, I mean, I read the actual abstract of a study.
That's
like, I didn't read a headline. Crazy. I like literally was in like The Lancet or whatever. And they're like, excess consumption of B12 is like obviously linked to cancer.
What?
Well, because it's like, yeah, like...
Oh, yeah, you're turning your cells up.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Like, it also just makes sense. Where it's like, yeah, you're putting a lot of something in your body that it was way more than it needs. Mm. And so it's like, of course it can fuck stuff up.
Yeah.
Mm. And so now I'm like, shoot. And I was taking this sleep... I don't know. I'm just going off right now.
Yeah, we're your doctors.
All right. Yeah. I was taking this, like, pill hydroxyzine, which is for like anxiety and sleep.
Okay, yeah.
Was I telling you about this?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so into it. It was helping me sleep so well. And I was taking a really small dose. And then I was like, wait, like this is like a, I was reading stuff and it's like, it's linked to like dementia later on. And also it just like, then when I don't take it, it's really hard for me to fall asleep. And it's like, right, of course it's messing me up a little bit. Like, shoot.
Totally.
Nothing comes without a consequence.
I got hydroxyzine once and my psychiatrist was literally, excuse me.
Wait, and I was using yours at first,
right?
And it really helped.
And that's my bad. But she gave it to me, she was like, literally,
yeah,
you can't do this wrong.
No, that's what mine said.
She was
to
like,
me too,
take about 100 in the morning, 105 in the afternoon.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Well, there is a thing where it's like, if you're really going through it, it's like, yeah, take it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what my dad said to me about Xanax when I was having a really hard time. He was like, do it whenever you need it. And I was like, what about being addicted? He was like, you won't. And for now, like, that's actually not as pressing a problem as like you not being able to do your job because you're freaking out and like crying in the bathroom. And it's like, word, got it. Like, so there is a thing of like, first get your shit under control. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, that doesn't always work. I just read that book about the opioid crisis. Shoot.
The opioid.
Opioid. So...
Well, here's what we recommend, Charlie.
Yeah, and I actually kind of just blacked out for the last 15 minutes.
It's okay. I have everything.
Great.
So here's what I recommend for you.
We're talking about Christmas or something?
It's just a regimen.
Right.
It goes a ginger juice shot in the morning. And then hot lemon water to start the metabolism.
Ugh, I love lemon water.
Something easy on the tummy, like a soup.
Right.
For breakfast.
Right.
Dinner salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch, salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And the night with a
salmon
cocktail
snack.
Of adrenaloids. Are you guys seeing that online? An adrenal cocktail.
Adrenal cocktail?
Yeah.
Is
what is that?
A real
thing? This is, so what I just laid out for you, that like amazing meal plan, is a combination of like the things I'm seeing on TikTok plus like the what I eat in a day videos that I watch
on YouTube. Yeah, totally. Yolanda Hadid being like, actually every single one of them is like evangelizing lemon water. And it is. Lemon water is nice.
It's nice.
But I
that's
do
all
like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
So it can't go wrong there.
But that's all it is.
What? It's just nice. Yeah. It doesn't really do all the stuff that... No. They're like, it alkalizes you.
Yeah, I don't care about that. It tastes good.
Right. Exactly.
I love those videos because it's just like watching just like amazing women just like lie through their fucking teeth. Them being like, I like to have a stir fry for lunch with lots of veggies and chicken. And then for dinner, I have salmon and pasta.
I love pizza.
What are you talking about? Like, no, you don't. Like, no, you don't. You're Miranda Kerr. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
well, any of those things where someone's like, just give me like a daily example of some of what your life is normally like. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's impossible because you've now asked.
Yeah.
Like, the thing of like, tell us about your day, like a Grub Street Diary, right? Like any of those things are like, you've now asked me to be paying attention to this thing. And like the act of looking at it means I can't be honest. Any like food diary is like that. Mm. Or any diary where it's just like, what do you think about? You
know? I don't feel that for when someone's ready to ask me a question like that. Right. I'm ready to be honest. But I will say that when I was a PA at MSNBC for mm-hmm. Ari Melber's show, mm-hmm. there was a time where he... And are you guys knowing who that is?
No.
Random anchor. But he, like, I don't know. He's not listening. He just, like, wanted to be, like, really cool and famous. Mm-hmm. And I remember him calling, like, all the, like, female staff into his office and was like, they're asking me for, like, a day in the life for Men's Health magazine. What should I tell them? Mm-hmm. We were like, exercise? Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's good. That's good.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Go to work. I do that.
Oh, that's good because that's true.
Yeah. Totally. So
I do want to do a day. I mean, I love being asked that kind of question.
Yeah.
I love getting to be like, what do you recommend?
Someone being like, tell me about the most mundane things that you do. Yeah. Because right. I'm you're interested. Like,
well, that's okay. Can I say this thing?
Yeah.
This theory I'm kind of working on. You've heard it, but it'll be new for you unless I said it last time, which okay. is very possible. Okay. I don't hold myself to that. So basically, like what happens when you want to fuck someone is the really, really boring stuff about them becomes like something that potentially interests you or like so that true. You kind of have to listen to. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So right. like you want to have sex with someone you haven't had sex with yet, or someone you're having sex with, like in a relationship, whatever, and they're like, my high school had blank number of kids per grade. Like, that's something that you want to know about randomly because it's like connected to like sex. But like a friend would never like really want to know that information. And the sickness that celebrities have is that like everyone treats them like they want to fuck them. So everywhere they go, the way that they're being talked to is as if those things that no one actually cares about unless they want to fuck you are interesting. So they go on like Jimmy Kimmel and they're like, I actually like got pulled over. And I did, and my sister was in the car, and the song that was playing was Baby Shark, and it was so ridiculous. And it's like, yeah, or they're like, I was literally like, I did cheerleading in high school.
Right.
Something that like a friend would be like, that's nothing. Right. You know what I mean? Like that's you got to save that. Yeah.
That's kind of not right. the story yet. Yeah.
So that's it.
That's a really smart theory.
And no, it like could rot your brain. Like yeah, you really feel it.
100%. That's also at the cornerstone of stand-up. That is yeah. like why fame and stand-up are inversely related.
Totally. Yeah. Wait, that's Wait, really interesting.
That okay, I've even noticed it in myself. Uh-huh. When I first was starting and I'm getting on stage and there's no information inherent in me being on stage, right? Mm-hmm. It's only what's coming out of my mouth.
Right.
It's got to be tight. Mm-hmm. It's got to be interesting. It's got to be punchy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, right, in and of itself.
In and of itself. Like, independent gotcha. Yeah. of me, yeah. it has right. to be. Gotcha. But then yeah. the more that people have
right.
pretext
right.
for you doing stand-up,
right.
the more they can project whatever the fuck they want onto what you're saying.
Oh my God,
and in
totally.
And of itself, it can kind of be...
Whatever.
Void.
Yeah.
And that's why there's this interesting thing with like when John Mulaney talks about like his life that's been in the tabloids and then it meets. So it's like the stand up actually meets the thing that we know about already. There's this weird moment right. of like, oh my God, that's yeah. the thing from there. And like, right, you right. know, and it almost like corrupts the or reveals the like game right. of the,
yeah.
the stand up.
Like the only way to know if your stand up is good is if people start responding to it.
Right, right.
And like if you're not famous, that'll only be if the stand-up is good.
Exactly.
But then if you get famous and people are interested in whatever right. happens to you
yes. Yes.
in like a what's in my bag kind of way,
right,
then like right. you could be doing stand-up about like really boring stuff
and it could be the funniest in the world to these people.
Totally.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I wonder if there's any way around that for celebrities doing stand-up, like because I feel like every special I see of someone, there must be, you yeah. know what I mean? Like,
you know, I really started subjecting myself to just doing rooms that I do not belong in.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
That'll do it.
And
right.
that just like at least gives me context.
Wow. In the city? Like, are you doing like a club thing kind of?
It was Old Man Hustle. Mm-hmm. I did a set there to like almost no laughs at all. But I was working on new stuff. So it was like,
right.
Usually when I do new stuff, I try to be as monotonous as possible so I can figure out if the jokes themselves are funny.
Oh, interesting. Got it. You're like, I'm not going to do any of the.
Yeah, I'm not selling it. I just need to know if it like flies on its own.
No charm, no tricks, no winking.
Oh my God, I need to learn to do that because I really will like push something so hard and then do that same joke that like got laughed, but it was just because I was being goofy around it. Like,
but then that's great.
That is actually helpful. Right. Then you're like, so the joke doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Like, so you're just like, I'm going to go out of my way to be where people aren't like already like,
Yeah.
That's so smart.
And then when I do a show like how I did yours, I was like, oh my God, these people like me.
Yeah.
They literally were like, room, you could have like, wait, can we talk about how you actually like, this was so kind of swaggy of you. Like it was very swaggy.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. That's like the coolest thing you ever did.
Okay, and then I feel like we should end because I feel like it's too long. Yeah.
Totally.
Like for
we're just
you.
Hanging out at this point.
Yeah, no, totally.
But we'll tell this story because it actually is really good.
So at the last show that Jabuki did, there was this like girl there who was really drunk and was kind of like, I mean, she wasn't even heckling. She really was just like talking at like, and it's so funny, like I feel like people actually deal with hecklers, you know what I mean, like,
it's like
in
hustle,
that other word where people are like, you suck, like fuck you, but I feel like we're so like kind of coddled by like not having that someone being like, I'm like, but shut up, like you're in my head, like I can't focus.
It's like Requiem for a Dream, right? Like the most horrifying thing.
I'm like, you're driving me crazy. You know you are. Anyway, so this
girl, by the way, she was louder than that.
She was louder than that, and she was
talking to us.
Like, at this volume, she was talking to entire show.
Yes. Right. And then during my set, she like kind of went over to the security person who at the Bell House is like, I would say, like very involved. Yeah. Like kind of like sits in the front, like and like is often just kind of like just like a pretty big part of the show.
Right.
And they were kind of just like talking, and it was like, and I got, honestly, like, I wish I had handled it better, but I was kind of like, got very like scared. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like, can you like stop talking? Mm-hmm. And to the security guard, I was like, can you like, maybe you guys head out together? He was like, I can't leave because I'm not allowed to. And I was like, okay, cool. And kind of like froze. And then Jabuki, and you say.
I went up to her and she's the level of drunk where she just thinks that everything she says is the most interesting thing. She thinks she's famous. Like
She's
like,
Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, she's what's in my bag.
Right. And she's like doing what's in my bag with the security guard. Flirting with him.
She's like, my middle school started in 9th grade. So we joined the high school in 10th.
Right. And I went up to her and I was like, wait, oh my God, can I buy you a drink? And then she looks at me and she's like, yes, we're buying drinks. And I was like, yeah, we're buying drinks. What do you drink? Let's go. And then she's like, okay, let's go. And then I walk with her to the bar and we leave. And then when I get to the bar, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot my drink ticket. Would you mind if I just like went and got my drink ticket really quick and then just came right back? And she's like, yeah, no worries. I got it. I'm here. I'm chilling. I'm fine. And she starts talking to the bartender like, yeah, so then in 10th grade,
And that was it.
Yeah.
Like,
and then she just stays there and I went back into the green room and I left and she was there for the rest of the show.
That
it like is so brilliant.
It was so cool and it was just like chic,
right?
You know what I mean? Like it
well,
was just
handled
like
so
right. Like it was like not making a you know what I mean? Like it
lowest
wasn't
stakes
like
way.
Not like you seriously need to leave. Mm-hmm. It was so like catch flies with honey. It was very like
I tried swag-alicious. To wield the least power possible in every scenario.
Right,
like when people over like
right.
It just, why are you doing that? I don't like seeing people in a position of power enjoy the power that they have.
Right, totally.
I feel like you need to be like, oh, well, I have to do this.
Right.
Because it has to be
I
done.
I have a responsibility.
Yeah,
sucks,
I might
actually.
As right. Right. Like security people who love being a security person, that's my least favorite thing in the world.
Right. Totally. Relishing saying no to someone.
Yeah.
No. Okay, should we go?
Let's do it.
This was so fun. Thank you so much for coming on. And here's what I'll say is stream Rap Shit season 2.
Literally.
And then you can DM me and we can talk about it. Because I have some stuff to say.
Yeah. I don't think you even got to like say everything you wanted to.
No, but I think I'll just keep the conversation flowing.
Right, right. Save some for the DMs.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, okay. And thank you and lots of love. Do you have anything else you need to say? Be totally real.
Honestly, there was just some like, I wish that you would have said some things differently on this pod.
Yeah, can you just like give us the read that you wanted?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I wish that you, if you would have said like, please go out and stream.
Right,
right, like, right, right.
Than, like sort of mandating it.
Totally. Yeah. You know what? I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it again just because I feel like it would be disingenuous, but I will take it into account for next time.
Yeah, Jibu, cool. I just feel like, and it's totally fine, like I get where you were coming from, but just when you like asked Natalie to do that, like I just personally wish that you'd done it like after the podcast, and it's like I get and why you did it on like so it's like I'm not mad, but just like in the future I would think about that.
But I feel like Charlie, like I like hearing you say that, I'm like I do appreciate that, but I am like I wish that you had come to me first so then I could bring it to Jibuki myself. Right, you know right. what I mean?
And then I'm sort of feeling like, you know, I can advocate for myself. Like, why do I have to be removed from that equation?
Oh,
like,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, we hope to see you next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.